I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's
Happy
up?
Monday, everyone. You're listening to Let's Go There with Sheer and Ryan. We continue to bring you our show daily, weekdays at least, here on Channel Q from our homes because, just like you, we're also in quarantine.
We're staying at home. And honestly, I'm enjoying it so much. I really don't want to go back to work into the studio, but I miss everyone. But I'm really enjoying it. And it's kind of crazy, though, because, Sheer, we were talking about this off air. Are you going to be the part of the first batch of people that immediately, as soon as this thing is uplifted, are you immediately going to go out and go?
We are back bringing you the news from quarantine. We are in our homes, but we continue to bring you the latest. All right, let's get into President Trump's announcement. He reversed his call to reopen businesses by Easter, which I feel like we had to see this coming. I mean, it was so unrealistic that everything would be back open, no more social distancing by Easter. He said he's going to extend the nation's coronavirus social distancing guidelines to April 30th. He also said that the modeling estimates that the peak in death rate is likely to hit in 2 weeks. Nothing would be worse than declaring victory before the victory is won. Okay, that's good. He said, we can expect that by June 1st, we will be well on our way to recovery. We think by June 1st, a lot of great things will be happening. That's from President Donald Trump.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. There's a lot of flaws in the way he's looking at his perspective, because I saw a photo yesterday of bodies being lined along like a couloir, the back of a truck.
Going to the morgue.
Yeah, yeah, there's no more room. And so he's still thinking and saying like, oh, this number of cases or the number of deaths, it's still so unprecedented. He's like, it feels like he's going to politicize this to use this a part of his campaign as he's like doing a good job. And he's not. Let's be real about this. He is not doing a good job on how he's handling this. So I'm actually very excited about our guest because she likes to see things from both sides. So maybe she'll change my mind.
Yes, because I do want to know what she thinks about this latest news. Jackie Coppell is back with us. She's a political commentator. Thanks again for being here.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Every day it's like Groundhog Day, right?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, look, I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday and the same thing I'm going to do tomorrow.
Oh, girl, don't we know?
Maybe somewhat different and with a different sweatshirt. So exactly. What do you think about this latest news that the social distancing is being pushed back to a further date? I'm not surprised about this. Is this following the same trajectory that China had experienced?
Yeah, it seems to be. And for what it's worth, China, it also seems, is experiencing potentially a second wave. They've reclosed movie theaters and some other sort of gathering businesses. It seems that they may be, you know, the numbers from China, unfortunately, we aren't totally able to trust them, so we don't know exactly what's going on, but it does seem with the reclosing of businesses that they didn't totally beat the epidemic or the pandemic, I should say. So it is very smart for us to now be doing this. Quite frankly, realistically, setting up some sort of expectation for Easter was clearly a misstep. And I think that Trump recognized that pretty quickly when there was such an outrage and sort of a lot of people just sort of laughing at this idea that, you know, we were going to have churches filled to the brim.
Yeah,
at that
totally.
Point, we are not going to. But he is, it seems, finally listening to the experts. He said as much, which is great. That is what we've been wanting him to do for a month and a half now, if not longer. So the fact that it's happening, you know, I guess it's one of those things where it's better late than never. And yes.
But doesn't that feel that kind of better late than never? It feels to me like, oh, we're giving him a pass when he is our leader and he's supposed, and you know, people have, they voted him in, unfortunately, and he has not been handling this in the best way possible. So what do you say to those people who are like, I don't want to give this man a pass because of how he's handling this? And this, obviously, our results, what we're seeing, it could have been way less than what we were seeing if he would have handled this and took it more seriously months ago.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, if you're referring to sort of his approval ratings having gone up as of late, yes. I think what that is referring to, it's a little bit of sort of the rally the flag, right? So when the United States, we have a tendency when we go to war, we sort of rally around the flag. We rally around the president, the leadership at that time. I think what you're seeing right now is an example of that, right? There's no person or country we're at war with. We are at war with a virus. But I think you're seeing the same thing happen, which is, all right, well, we're all in this together. So this is the leadership we've got. Let's see. And look, Dr. Fauci is great. And several of the other doctors are great and are continue to ring the alarm. So I think that's what you're seeing. But I think very quickly after the peak and after things calm down from a literal physical standpoint, and then you turn into the economic calamity that this is, I think people are going to start to say, well, wait a minute, what happened? Could we have prevented this? And right. That's when they're going to say, oh, he didn't pay attention. He didn't heed warnings. He told people to keep, you know, everything was just going to be fine. So I think it's going to be delayed in some of the same ways that it was with Bush, right? It was a lot of rally around the flag. And then over time, people started saying, well, wait a minute, what did happen with those decisions and why were they made?
Yeah, it's almost like for survival at this point, we just need to like focus on what's working and think about that versus like going up against people right now. Right. It's not going to help anyone. How do you think this will impact the Democrats with the election now?
I mean, look, right now, Joe Biden is in a tough spot. He's starting a podcast where he's sitting down with experts to try and be a voice of calm and reason.
Like everyone else is right now.
Yes, exactly. Like everyone else is. And I think you'll see him, you know, find ways to plug holes and to appear to be the leader. But it's straight up, it is just tough. And for the next month, it is going to be tough.
Also, okay. I was going to say the update about the travel restrictions between states, just for people to know.
Yeah. So because there is so much concern, particularly with sort of the New York tri-state area, as well as Louisiana, some other states have now actually put some travel restrictions up. Florida, it has sort of put up a big X to New Yorkers and folks from New Jersey, and Texas as well. People coming from Louisiana, they're really they're asking them not to come. And potentially turning them away. I don't know all the details on that, in fairness. I don't know if the police officers are literally preventing them from coming in, but I know that they're very strongly asking them and saying you have to quarantine if you do come in.
All right. Well, Jackie Kopel, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You can follow Jackie on Instagram at Jackie Kopel for her daily political reporting. We've got What's the Tea coming up. So what's going on, Ryan?
Okay, so Sheer, coming up in What's the Tea, why is everyone dragging Lady Gaga and her dad? I don't understand. Find out coming up next because you don't want to miss it. All right, we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And if you wanted to know what global pop star's father is under heavy criticism right now, guess what? It's the one and only Lady Gaga. And honestly, I feel so bad about it because Lady Gaga and her dad probably had the best intentions, or her dad had the best intentions. So let me break this down.
Okay.
So as we all know, times are tough for so many people, you know, especially in the restaurant industry. And of course, that is including, you know, Lady Gaga's dad and several other New York eateries. Well, basically, her dad is 64. He created this GoFundMe account asking the public to donate $50,000 to cover his staff wages at their restaurant, Joanne. Now, this was immediately met with all of the criticism because, of course, Lady Gaga in 2019, according to Forbes, made $39.5 million just alone in that 1 year. And so people are just like, well, what is going on here? And so in a now deleted tweet, Her dad literally said this: I'm doing the best I can, but we had to close Joanne for the month. Our staff needs some help financially. Any help for our employees will be appreciated. Now, what's the problem here? It's Lady Gaga's daddy asking for some money from people who are way more off terribly than he is.
Doesn't she get paid like $50,000 for one post on Instagram or maybe even more?
Probably. Like. So here's the thing. So now the GoFundMe page has now been deleted. But before it was removed, this is what it said. It said, as our doors remain closed longer than anticipated, our staff is finding it increasingly difficult to finance the daily necessities to keep them healthy, like groceries and insurance costs, to say nothing of rent, utilities, and other recurring bills. Now, he said our goal was to hit $50,000. It would cover our typical payroll for approximately 2 weeks, and 100% of the profits would go to our hourly workers to provide them necessary items like food, childcare, and medical expenses. Now, I'm going to re-say this for everyone listening. If you missed it, Lady Gaga made $39.5 million in 2019, according to Forbes. And of course, people bought that up when they started criticizing her. Now, Perez Hilton, who is a celebrity blogger, he's been on the show a couple times. Yep. We've had our own little combats over the show. Well, he said this: Lady Gaga is worth hundreds of millions of dollars and is part owner of her family's restaurant. Yet her also wealthy father has just taken to Twitter to ask the public to help financially the workers they have stopped paying. What in the F? Another reporter said, you're asking people who are more likely worse off than you to pay your staff? Come on, you can afford this. So Shira, what are your thoughts?
It is embarrassing. And I'm just wondering if like there was a text that was missed. Maybe Lady Gaga was too busy with her new boyfriend. She missed the text from her dad begging her for money to keep this place open. And instead he resorted to starting a GoFundMe page. And like, maybe that's how she found out. That would be awkward, right?
I mean, I would hope that he didn't just send a text and then like, oh, it was just like one day had passed.
Or like maybe she, like maybe he tried to get in touch with her through her assistant. Like I can imagine like this, reaching to your pop star, daughter and how difficult it is. And so, somehow it gets missed and now you need to start this. And she finds out all about this when basically everyone is dragging her, which like, I mean, I want to imagine that perhaps that happened if she knew about this and yikes, still let it go and happen. That is embarrassing because she's also a part owner in this restaurant. So she should care. Second, it is her father. And also $50,000 for her is nothing, despite obviously everyone's businesses being like falling apart right now.
Well, my thing is, isn't a lot. It's not only embarrassing, but the idea, Lady Gaga has been very vocal during COVID-19 and everything happening. And she's also told us and wrote a lengthy statement saying, she's postponing her album release. She had a secret set at Coachella set up. Like she's been letting people know and telling people to social distance. So it's like, well, are you not checking in with the people around you, your workers, your employees, all these things? Well, I would love for y'all to sound off. Hit us up at wearechannelq.com where you can find more about this story. And then, of course, keep the conversation going at LGT Show on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff.
All right, we're switching gears right now. Why filling out the census form this year is more important than ever before. That's next. We are back in quarantine from our homes, continuing to deliver you the news of the day and so much more.
Sure, it's not like you say it like we left quarantine. We will never get that opportunity. So we're just still here, rotting away.
And you might notice if you've been online or just watching the news, the 2020 census is coming. I mean, I feel like it's everywhere. I keep hearing about the census. I need to fill out this form.
Well, it's already here. And I got something in the mail for it, but this is my first time even doing one. So I feel like there's just so much that I still don't know. And I'm excited to dive in because who was even preparing for Corona?
Yeah, because it's definitely going to change how they're getting these numbers. I mean, they're supposed to be going door to door, which I can't believe people still go door to door, but it happens.
I mean, I know Jehovah's Witnesses do that, but I didn't know coronavirus people. I mean, the census people. People do it. I said yes, coronavirus.
You got that on your mind, man.
Yeah,
I do. Well, Megan Mori is with us, the policy director for the National LGBTQ Task Force, as we dive into the census topic. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
How does the National LGBTQ Task Force work with the Census Bureau?
That's an awesome question. So we've been focused on the census since 1990, and for a really long time, our focus was pushing the Census Bureau to ask better questions on sexual orientation and gender identity. We're still doing that. But for this census, for the 2020 census, we're also really focused on making sure that LGBTQ people get counted, that they fill out their form and complete the 2020 census that, as you just pointed out, is arriving in everybody's mailboxes right now.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting right now is I feel like it's a lot of people's first times even like finding out what a census is, especially for me. This isn't my first time voting, but I didn't even know there was a census that kind of followed election season or if it happens outside of election season. Can we break that down for a lot of the first timers? Like, what exactly is this?
Yeah, totally. So once every 10 years, the U.S. government does a head count, basically, of everyone in the country. They're just trying to figure out how many people are living in the U.S., mm-hmm. regardless of citizenship status, so that they can do things like allocate our tax dollars to states for things like education funding or health funding, but also so that they can do like political apportionment. So figuring out how many representatives each state has in the House of Representatives, but also what our districts look like at the state and local level. And then our communities use the data too to make decisions about things like where to put bus routes and where to open a new grocery store and where to have the local walk-in clinic.
So this is
there's
all
a bunch of different uses of the data.
Yeah.
So this is obviously all very important, like on a daily basis, but because of the climate that we're in right now and everyone is worried about what is seems to be more important things, you know, how are, you know, people going to even get involved in this census when they're dealing with, you know, the coronavirus outbreak?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough time for us to be doing the census.
Yeah.
But right, people can respond online, by phone, or by mail. So there are a lot of options for you to participate from home. And you're absolutely right. It is not the most critical thing on a lot of people's minds right now. Many of us are dealing with illness ourselves or are caring for friends and family members. Mm. But one thing to keep in mind is that it's sort of a down payment for the next 10 years. Participating in the census has impacts for federal funding, for how we allocate resources even during a time like right
yeah.
now,
wow.
For the next 10 years. So if we don't participate now, our communities are really going to be losing out for a long time.
Unlike the past, I know there was a controversy around it where you needed to put in your citizenship or if you were legal, right? Something like that. Like there was something around being an American citizen and it scared people off from filling it out. Is that
yeah.
still the case?
No. So basically, every 10 years, the Census Bureau looks at the questions on the form and they say, are there tweaks we need to make to collect better data? That's, you know, how we were trying to push them to add sexual orientation and gender identity questions. There were also improvements considered around race and ethnicity questions for this time around. But the current president also inserted himself into that process and said, you need to add a question on citizenship status so we know whether or not people are citizens. That was a political play that was not necessary. That data is better collected elsewhere for what we do need it for. And would have harmed the count considerably. So there is no citizenship question on the census. The Supreme Court put a halt to it and said, you can't do that. And there will be no citizenship question on the 2020 census. So when you see your form, there's going to be no question on there.
Okay. So to wrap this up really quickly, how is the National LGBTQ Task Force involving queer people of color? Because this could really change a lot of our lives. And how are you kind of engaging them to be excited about something like this?
Well, what we've found is that the most relevant thing for people is understanding how the census actually impacts their lives. So we know that queer people of color are much more likely to use and need public benefits like public housing, food stamps, Medicaid, as are other pieces of the LGBTQ community,
for
like
sure.
trans and non-binary folks and folks who are LGBTQ folks living with disabilities. So we've centered those communities in all of our messaging and said, this is how this is relevant for you. The census drives federal funding for those programs, for public housing, for food stamps, for Medicaid, but also for things like HIV programming and for homelessness and housing instability programs. So we try to center the pieces that are most relevant for queer and trans people of color, so that they feel invested in participating. We're also directing all of our advertising dollars and that sort of thing towards communities of color as well.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Megan Morey, thanks again for joining us during this crazy time. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes. Megan, again, is the policy director of the National LGBTQ Task Force. Now, to fill out the census online, just go to 2020census.gov. And remember, the deadline has been pushed back from July 31st to August 14th, so you still have time. And coming up, a Van Gogh painting was stolen from a museum that shut down because of the coronavirus. Really? That story and more on what's trending in the news, top of the hour. Okay, we are back bringing you what's trending in the news from the comfort of our homes. Now let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Disney chairman Bob Iger, who recently stepped down as CEO but stayed on Disney's board of directors, is giving up his salary to pay for the company's employees during the pandemic. Bob Chapek, who's Iger's replacement, is also cutting his salary in half, and other execs are also taking pay cuts.
So do they only really hire Bobs?
So another great takeaway, Ryan, from this story. But that is actually funny. But I think it's good to hear big companies stepping up for their employees right now during this time of need and making probably very hard decisions.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, giving away my $1 million paycheck is probably really difficult for my other $1 million setup bank account. But wow. I just want to do whatever I can.
You always see the glass half full like I do, don't you? But, you know, I think that as we've talked about this before, and even Mark Cuban said, how execs and how big companies deal with this will stay with them for decades to come. Oh, so, like, sure. How are you going to act in this moment of crisis?
Yeah, I agree. Actually, you know, Mark Cuban was on The View recently, and he talked about how his kids weren't even taking it seriously. He even talked about, like, he was like, if one of my kids were those crazy spring breakers on CBS News, I would have rolled up on them and put them over my lap and spanked them. I was like, wow. Oh, really, Mark Cuban? I love to see it.
He's old school.
He's most definitely old school.
Now let's move on to this story coming out of Maine. And this is one way to deal with your neighbors who you might think has coronavirus. Now, a Maine man said armed neighbors went to his house, chopped down a tree to block his road and prevent him from leaving because they thought he had coronavirus. He said he went outside on Friday to check why his cable service wasn't working and found a tree blocking the end of his road. And then, of course, got in touch with the sheriff's office because, like, what the F? Does this make you feel good? Or is this kind of scary that your neighbors would be armed and would go to this extreme to make sure that you didn't get out of your area?
Well, sure. Actually, I need to admit, I was in Maine this weekend helping these crowds of people keep this man inside.
You would.
Because, yes, I'm not playing any games. And if I need to, like, watch every episode of The Walking Dead to make sure I know how to shoot a gun and keep people and set traps, I will do it because this is serious. And now this, I mean, to be quite serious, though, this is hilarious that they did this, but they had to have a reason, right? They had to have thought, like, he's not, you know, he's not stopping himself and he's literally going to infect the entire world if they didn't do it. They're our own heroes.
Like, can you imagine them getting together for this, like, secret meeting of the neighbors of the community saying, like, you know, John over here, we got to talk about John. He's been coughing.
Yes, sure.
And he's been sniffing a lot and sneezing a lot.
They call
Let's
that,
make sure he stays in.
Here's the thing. They call that neighborhood watch committee. That's exactly yeah. What they do.
Or citizen, if you're on the app.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the modern day one. But anyway, that's an interesting one coming out of Maine.
I love that.
And one way that you can deal with this during this time, if you're not sure if your neighbor has coronavirus. Now, the Tokyo Olympics have been rescheduled to run from July 23rd to August 8th, 2021. That, of course, comes after the International Olympic Committee announced last week that the games would be delayed due to the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak. So it's happening. So we can all get ready for that one now in 2021. Now, another interesting story. A Van Gogh painting, a Vincent Van Gogh painting. You know how much that's worth, Ryan?
You
a
know,
lot of money.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know his first name was Vincent. I thought it was
Van.
Keep your kids in school, kid. I mean, everyone. Yeah. Parents,
or
keep your kids
maybe
in
not
school.
Anymore. Just teach your kids. Throw them on YouTube and give them a history
lesson. I mean, who's even talking about Van Gogh anymore? Let's be honest.
Well, this painting was stolen overnight from a Dutch museum that is currently closed due to the pandemic. I was wondering if this was going to happen. For me, I see all these stores closed or anything closed. And like, I feel like it's an opening for thieves.
Oh, for sure.
Come in and get what they want.
And you know, now certain places are talking about they're not going to do arrests. Like, they're not going to arrest people unless it's something very serious. So a lot of people are going to, you know, take this for, you know, what it is and be like, all right, let's go steal the most, you know, prized possessions and get away with it.
Well, this comes from the press conference. I love how this person said this. This is the museum director. I am shocked and unbelievably pissed off.
Oh, that is hilarious. That is hilarious.
So it is obviously horrible because this painting brings enjoyment, inspiration, comfort to a lot of people, especially during this difficult time, he added. But overall, he's pissed off. So I don't know what to say. Just be careful out there. There are thieves running around town. Now, that was some What's Trending in the News top of the hour. More in the next hour right here on Let's Go There. Coming up, though, we have a special guest joining us.
Oh, yes, we do. We teased last week that we have a lot of special guests this week.
Well, she's on Freeform's new series, Motherland, Fort Salem. Taylor Hickson is joining us after this.
All right, we are back, and we have a very special guest, Shira Lazar. We are here quarantined in our homes. I'm away from Shira, finally. Who knew it?
Thank God.
It would have took a coronavirus to separate us.
Oh, my God.
I am so happy because, you know, the show must go on, and we're bringing in some amazing talent and guests. She's actually from one of my favorite shows. It's called Motherland, Fort Salem. It's on Freeform, and it follows three young women from basic training and combat magic into early deployment in a woman-dominated world in which the U.S. ended persecution of witches 300 years ago after an agreement. Here's that trailer, and get your life, honey.
Generations passed from mother to daughter. People have always hated and feared us. So many sick ways to kill us and maim us. Does something like that ever really go away?
Okay, so let's go ahead and welcome Taylor Hickson. Oh my God. Hey, Quinn.
Yay.
Welcome to the
Thank
show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Ryan. Enjoy.
Yeah, no, we're so happy to have you. And she's coming from my home country. She's in British Columbia. Yeah,
I am. I'm up in Canada. That's where I'm stuck.
How's everything going up there? Because, I mean, it's clearly crazy.
I think I'm struggling quite a bit because I have a major, major wanderlust. So I'm a Sagittarius. So, I mean, it took a coronavirus to get me to stay home.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. So you're an extrovert.
Oh, extremely. Yeah. Very, very much. I'm like 90-10 extrovert introvert. But I mean, I'm stuck with all of my intermediate family. So I'm really enjoying that. Baking a lot. Haven't tried that before. Getting outside a lot. Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to bake?
So far, it's been Magic Bar because it's like I get the most, how would you say that, reward for like the least amount of time.
Okay.
So Magic Bar is kind of like graham cracker crust, so like, you know, the butter and whatnot, and then you kind of sprinkle some coconut if that's your jam, and then you put some chocolate chips, and you dump a whole can of condensed milk over top of it, and you bake it in the oven.
That sounds intense.
Absolutely nuts. It
oh my God,
is
that
magic.
Sounds so good.
It's so good.
Well, we love that. I mean, I love making food at home right now. That's my jam, even though I typically used to eat out. I was an eat out person. So this is a whole new vibe for me. Taylor Hickson again is with us. She is one of the stars of Motherland, Fort Salem. Now, the show is being released right now, right? As we're in quarantine.
Yes.
So what's that like to have your show like on the air right now during this time?
I mean, we're trying to look at it in a positive light. So South by Southwest was our original sort of premiere that we had scheduled for Motherland. And it was canceled, obviously, for very important safety reasons. I'm glad they did. But obviously, it was a bit of a bummer because we've been planning this for over a year now.
Yeah.
But, you know, the upside that I keep trying to look at is I'm hoping that our viewer ratings will be quite steady because everyone's at home with nothing to do. So they're looking for new stuff to watch to kill time. So I'm hoping that if we get the word out, people can stumble across our show and have something new to watch.
Well, I think the one thing I love about this show is obviously it's like my favorite genre is like sci-fi meets like witches, everything. And cherry on top, it's executive produced by Will Ferrell. Are you kidding me? This is, it's just wild to be on a show like
love
this.
That.
And also for it to be such a woman-led show. Is that something that really captured you when you were like, I want to be a part of the series?
Yeah, I think that was something, you know, upon first discovery, really resonated with us girls because, you know, a lot of our pillars in our moving pieces were men, and that at first I was like, what an interesting, you know, addition to such a female like cast and crew, but it just really showed me signified a change, I think, in our societies and our structural norms, and you know, to have all of these idealisms coming from the minds and the pockets of men and really pushing these ideas forward, you know, it's pretty freaking amazing.
True. Yeah, seriously. And I love that your character, one, is the show is representing all types of women and all types of people. Your character is queer, or I don't know the actual label.
What,
so
I use the umbrella
term queer.
Yeah.
I think that's very powerful. How was it like kind of jumping into that role? And did you feel any pressure with kind of the representation of it all?
Well, I mean, there's always that pressure because I think just for me, it's not so much about... you know, trying to, like, I do want to make the audience happy and I want this group of people to feel supported and heard and validated. But I also have extremely close friends in the LGBT community.
Yeah.
So that for me was, it was really important that I portrayed Rael with utmost respect and conviction, and they felt that it wasn't on the nose. Something I found so beautiful was that they didn't put labels on it. You know, they never talk about how they identify in terms of their gender or their sexual orientation or really even they hardly mention like skin color even. That was never a problem. Even like there's no ageism. And I just think normalizing these type of structures like in our society is something that we want to see and we really want to push for.
Yes.
I mean,
so awesome.
Snaps and claps. Honestly, I wish we had more time with you, but I feel like this show is the perfect show to get into while we're all stuck in the house. Mm-hmm. Taylor, please tell everyone when the show comes on and where they can find you.
So it comes on at 8-9 Central. So I think that's 9 p.m. East Coast. And for us Canadians, it comes on ABC Spark, and this is every Wednesday. And you can also find it on Hulu the day after.
Yes, go do it. Taylor Hickson, thank you so much again. Now, coming up next, a new coronavirus test might revolutionize how soon you have results. We speak with our NP, James Simmons, when we return. We are back coming to you from our homes as we continue to deliver you the news. But this is a story that is popping up a lot, and we want to talk about these COVID-19 tests. Everyone's been waiting for these tests. We keep saying that if we had had these tests from the get-go, maybe this wouldn't be such a huge issue right now here in the state.
Well, yeah, it could have helped flatten the curve. And honestly, and if I'm being really real, and I feel like a lot of people will feel this way, I don't even know if we will ever get tests. It doesn't really feel like it's happening anytime soon.
Well, the thing is, the FDA are approving these COVID-19 tests right now, and I want to understand how they would work. Can we rely on them? Are they trustworthy? And James Simmons is back with us. He's a nurse practitioner, and he's also our on-air health expert. Thanks for being here, James.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you guys.
Well, let's talk about these tests that are being approved. There's one that's a 15-minute COVID-19 test. Are these tests that we can use at home or only in the hospital or with our doctor?
So these are tests that would be used in healthcare facilities or in those drive-up testing centers. Mm-hmm. And it's to kind of supplement the other tests that have been out there, but these have this like 15-minute turnaround. In fact, they could be as short as 7 minutes. The test is a little bit different depending on the outcome. So if the test registers positive, it could register positive in as short as 7 minutes. If it's negative, it takes up to 15 just to confirm that it's actually negative. And how this really could be is that this, you know, it's developed by Abbott Laboratories, and it's something that it's, you know, the actual whole entire testing unit is about the size of a large toaster. Oh. It could be shipped soon, like within a week, to all of these areas that don't have robust testing going on or where their testing is taking a really long time. To Ryan's point, that where testing isn't even really happening and some places where testing is happening, but the results are taking days and days to come back.
So James, if these tests do become public, how are we going to control how many people get to test? Because it seems like the long lines will basically enhance the possibility of catching COVID-19.
Well, I think that's where we still, you know, this is a game changer in terms of being able to test people quickly. And so that we know whether, you know, your status in terms of COVID-19, and then you go home and quarantine yourself or you need to be treated or whatever. But I still think the typical rules still apply. If you right now don't have symptoms, if you've not come in contact with someone, if you've been physically distancing like everyone's been asking you to, You don't need to get tested. And if you start showing symptoms, there may be some importance in knowing what you have for sure, but you have to sort of counterbalance that and weigh that against, if you are symptomatic and you have COVID-19, is it worthwhile to then leave your house and go, like to your point, Ryan, stand in a line, go to an ER, go to clinics.
Do you see a future where we would have at-home tests, like even in the workplace, there'd be tests wherever we would go before we enter a space?
I hope that does not actually end up being the case. I do see a world where for a long time we have our temperatures taken, you know, before we enter or even exit any like office buildings, you know, once we all sort of start going back to work. I can imagine, you know, the security guard at, you know, lobby of buildings having a thermometer and reading everyone's temperature across their forehead. And, you know, or if you have an elevated temperature, you need to be evaluated by the on-site nurse or the on-site physician, whoever. I definitely can see that happening for sure.
James, you actually use the term physically distancing, and people have been hearing social distancing, right? And I think it's not the right messaging still. I think that's been the issue with trying to get people to stay in the house. What's the difference between social distancing and physically distancing, and how can this really help stop the spread of COVID-19?
So what we really are saying, when we've been saying social distancing, which by the way is a term that this is not new to COVID-19. Social distancing is a public health strategy that has been around for a long time. Anyone who has public health education or has been in that arena has heard of and knows social distancing. Mm-hmm. What I don't think the consequences of the actual semantics of the words, though, that we understood that, because this is really the first time that social distancing has been implemented on a large scale in the United States, was the psychosocial aspect that goes along with that, the mental health aspect that goes along that. You know, I know individuals who have literally just stopped talking to people. So they might be outside in their yard and their neighbor says hello, and they just like, they can't even find it within themselves to engage with their neighbor over their fence.
Yeah.
And listen, I think the point is social, we know for a fact, very well researched, social isolation is bad for you. It is akin to smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day in terms of your physical health. We are people who need people. Like that's just what we do as a species.
Yeah.
And so we fight really hard, particularly for elderly and shut-in individuals, to not be so socially isolated like before COVID-19. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're telling everyone to socially isolate, when what we really meant was just physically distance. Just make sure that you are at least 6, preferably 10 feet away from the next person around you.
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned that, because it's something that a lot of people are talking about, switching up that wording right now, and it can make a difference. Now, coming up next, a clip of a nurse quitting in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic at her hospital is going viral. There's a lot of controversy around this one and why her story is bringing up a much needed conversation. That's next. We are back bringing you Let's Go There from our homes during quarantine. Now, a clip of a Georgia nurse quitting over being assigned a COVID-19 floor is going viral. Some empathize with her. Others are dragging her. Here's the clip.
My life, they matter. They come first. It's evil. She's evil. She knows my health history. I told her my kids don't have anybody to go to while they're here. I can't send my kids away like everybody else. I'm done. I'm leaving. My life matters and my kids matter. Screw this.
Wow. I mean, that clip is so powerful. I mean, I got chills when I first initially saw that clip.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out. That was Melissa Thomas Scott, a nurse in Albany, Georgia, and that was from her Facebook Live. As you can hear, she was assigned to the corona floor for a 12-hour shift, and that's when she quit. But James Simmons is back with us, our on-air health expert and nurse practitioner. When you watch this, when you see this, James, what do you think?
It, first of all, completely breaks my heart. And, you know, all our love and strength and, you know, thoughts to her and her family. And then also to everyone out there, you know, my fellow nurse practitioners, nurses, physicians, the environmental services people, the maintenance guy that has to be in the hospital to keep things going. Like, there are so many people in a hospital environment that are required to keep things going. Mm-hmm. And this is really difficult because, you know, I've talked before about how, like, Amazon workers are striking today and Instacart people are striking today. They did not sign up for jobs knowing that they were putting their lives at risk.
Right.
And this is a really difficult conversation because we talk a lot in nursing about two things, about being those individuals who sort of charge in when everyone else is running out. You know, they make those analogies in the army or whatever, right? So like when everyone else is running away from something, we run in. Mm-hmm. And while I definitely believe that and that's true, and you sort of, quote, know what you're getting into when you become a nurse, you also, we are all human beings. And part of the thing that differentiates nursing from really all of the other professions in healthcare is that we treat the whole person. And so we're not just treating your disease. We're not just treating your COVID-19. And I think that has to apply in situations with healthcare providers as well. She's a nurse and she knew exactly what she signed up for when she went to nursing school and goes to work every day for those 12 hours. But she also didn't sign up for breast cancer.
Right. And I wanted to bring that into context because she is a triple negative breast cancer survivor. She was diagnosed in 2012 at age 31. And of course, you hear her talking about how she wants to put her safety and her health first. I just feel like supervisors should understand that.
What about the public who are dragging her because of this?
Well, and people may be dragging her. And I think sometimes what happens is people don't have all the facts, right? They base their opinion off of just, you know, whatever, a short clip. But, you know, the other, just having worked in these environments for so long, you know, I think the other thing we have to be really careful is not vilifying her hospital or the supervisor, because we don't know those circumstances as well. The supervisor might be in a really difficult position where if he or she doesn't fully staff that unit, he or she is doing is endangering all of the other nurses. So if you have nurses who all of a sudden have 7 patients to 1 nurse, they're all really sick COVID-19 patients. You now have 1 nurse having to run in and out of 7 different rooms, where if she had another staff member, that nurse might only be having to run in and out of 3 or 4 different rooms. And then in that case, it's a more appropriate ratio so the nurses can actually keep eyes on their patients, take really good care of their patients. So, you know, the supervisor might not have necessarily been evil and completely disregard of what this woman was going through. She might have been in a tough spot too and been like, look, I only have 6 of you. I need all 6 of you to go to this floor. We have a lot of really sick people up there. I'm really sorry, but this is what I have to do.
But isn't that like putting her in
a place? That's putting her at risk too, so she could end up being a patient.
Right. And so here's the, actually, and I want to read a statement because the system CEO, Scott Steiner, he actually put out a statement about this. He said, as the public health crisis in Southwest Georgia gets more severe, we've been reaching out to other hospitals and parts of our state. I am pleased that every one of our regional partners we spoke to in the last 24 hours agreed to assist by accepting patient transfers from us. When we're seeing that, it just feels like she should not have been had to have like her only resort to be is like saying, oh, I have to quit. It should have felt like there should have been some type of empathy just surrounding her, especially her health. And you never know. We don't know what really happened. But I do think it's important when we're talking about we have to all kind of come together. Yes, we're putting, especially y'all are put into a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
But even that in understanding her health history, I think there should have been a little bit more empathy instead of just being like, get out on the field and go possibly kill yourself, because that it feels like it's a very suicidal thing to do in some way, you know.
It can be, and I will just tell you that I've also, just to counterbalance this story too, I've heard so many different hospital systems who have come up with really unique, interesting ways for their nursing and other healthcare provider staff who are higher risk to do other things. My hospital actually has a call center right now.
Ooh.
So if you're high risk, or for other reason you cannot or just don't want to work on a COVID floor or with COVID patients, we actually have a call center where people are calling in. We have people like helping man social media, like people doing all these other things, you know, working in different departments that they not wouldn't normally would, but they're contributing to keeping the hospital going. Like, there are ways around this. I really do think so. And I wish that her only resort was not to have to quit too. That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, James Simmons, thank you so much for being here and for your work
trenches
right now as well. Yeah, we can't believe it.
My pleasure. Happy to help out.
Yeah, we're not worthy. Not worthy. Ask the NP is where to find him on Instagram. Now, coming up, one city is actually enforcing fines for people who break social distancing rules. It's real out there. Find out more on what's trending in the news when we return. We are back recording from our homes during this quarantine. And now a big question on all the minds of people who have animals. And I think even me, like, I don't have my personal animal, even though my roommate has an animal. I wonder if pets can sense our anxiety right now, not just the anxiety of their owners, but like collective anxiety.
Well, the one thing I really don't need is my dog being an empath for everyone. So I just want her to only feel my anxiety or her own. Like, seriously.
You're so selfish, Ryan.
No, I don't need that. Can you imagine being a dog at a time like this and feeling everyone's anxiety? No way.
Yeah, no for real. Way. Well, they're very sensitive creatures. We have right now, we are so excited. We have Dr. Evan Anton joining us. He's known also as, is this true, the hot vet?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I just think he's hot, and so I just call him that. So
okay, I wasn't sure that was a real title. The hot vet. Okay. Dr. Evan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure, you guys. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, Dr. Evan, I don't know if you knew what you jumped into, but welcome to Let's Go There.
Okay.
Let's go there.
Yeah, let's get into this. So can animals feel our anxiety? And I would say, even beyond that, with what's happening right now, which is such a shift in how we're all behaving, do you think they could sense that?
You know, absolutely. I think animals can easily sense individual anxiety too. Like Henry can sense if I have any other emotion, you know, if I'm anxious or stressed or upset or anything, he can sense it. He usually just starts shaking and sits there and feels all bad, you know, and he tries to get close to me and like nuzzle in and whatnot really closely. But yeah, dogs can definitely sense that. You know, they have a really high emotional capacity actually, and cats and a lot of other animals as well. I mean, to be honest, so right now during all this quarantine and everything, a lot of people have anxiety, don't get me wrong, but a lot of pets are so happy to have their owners home. So it's a unique time for them.
Hey, Dr. Evan, I think it's quite interesting you said that about, you know, pets are so happy that their owners are home. I always have kind of like mom doggy guilt because I work a lot and I'm like always trying to be in Coco's life or take her to the studio with me. But, you know, at a time like this, what can, you know, pet owners do when you're quarantined but still want to kind of take your dog out or, you know, play as much and keep their spirits high?
I mean, I think now more than ever, you have the time to go on walks and do little hikes and whatnot. And, you know, some cities are more strict than others as to whether or not you can do that or that's recommended. But, you know, it's all about just getting creative. And even if you're, you know, at home, you know, if your cats, you know, make new little cat toys for them and, you know, play little games with them and try to keep them occupied. And there's so many ways to do that. I mean, cats and now Henry does too. He loves this game because I think he's seen it with the cats. But, you know, they love the game like where you have the little monster under the sheets. I don't know if you guys have seen that, where you have your hand under there, you move it around under a sheet, and then like go back. So,
oh, I do got that. It. I do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just having the time to be with them. I think that's their number one thing. They're so excited just that you're just home and you're with them.
Yeah. Dr. Evan, I have a question because I've been seeing these memes being shared around. Can you overwalk your dog? There's this meme that was being shared like, stop walking me. I've gone on 20 walks today.
You know, I guess the answer for some dogs is actually yes. And it really just depends on, you know, their general health and if they have any pre-existing diseases. Like, for instance, if I had a dog or, you know, a patient that had, you know, a significant cardiovascular disease or cardiac disease, I wouldn't want to overexercise that animal. If I had a dog with significant osteoarthritis or some other kind of orthopedic issue, same kind of thing. I wouldn't want to overwalk this animal and, you know, do more harm than good. And trying to get them a little bit of exercise. So there are some patients that is a consideration. If your dog or, you know, is otherwise a healthy dude and he doesn't have any health issues that you know of, and he or she is down to continue walking and wants to keep doing it and isn't just, you know, stopping and putting the brakes on, I don't see the harm in letting them walk, you know, more and more and more. I mean, these animals come from animals, you know, their wild relatives can walk, you know, dozens of miles a day.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Most dogs, if they're healthy, can certainly do that.
Are there any resources online? Because I know sometimes the first thing that I do, especially now, is use the Googles. And oftentimes that scares the living crap out of me more than just being able, because I don't feel like I can go to the vet right now because I can't leave my house. So what are some resources online that are trusted?
I mean, to be honest, most vets are still seeing, a lot of vets are still seeing emergencies.
Oh, cool.
So where I work is Conejo Valley Vet Hospital. They're seeing emergencies still. And the reason I gear you towards that is because of how dangerous Dr. Google is. Because when I have pet owners that are like, you know, their dog vomited, and they go and look up on Google what's going on, and then they come to me like, my dog has stomach cancer. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Let's pump brakes. Let's chill out. Because there's so many things that can be causing that. So, but when you don't have a medical background and you're just picking and choosing what, you know, clinical features about what's going on with your pet you want to take in consideration when you're reading about what could be going wrong, I mean, you're just going to get a plethora of scary stuff, and it's just not worth your time or stress in doing so. So, I mean, for most people, I always just recommend, listen, if you're really concerned, just consult your vet. Just give them a call.
I will say Dr. Evan has an amazing pet care product brand, Happy Pet brand. Literally, I'm a fan.
This isn't sponsored. You're a true fan.
And seriously, I love it. I'm telling you, I love the shea butter lotion for my dog. I was like, oh, look at him catering to the black people. I love it. It's absolutely incredible.
My mom uses that every night on her hands and feet. She's obsessed with that stuff.
It's so good.
Multi-use creams.
No, so check it out. Check it out at happypetbrand.com. Seriously, I love it. I swear by it.
Also, Dr. Evan, where can people find you on Instagram?
Dr. Evan Anton. Dr. Evan Anton.
Now coming up, how one famous rapper is using a hit song to protect healthcare workers from the coronavirus. That's next on our Yaz Queen of the Day. Okay, we are back doing our show from our homes during this quarantine experience. And let's get into some Yaz Queen. Yes, Queen. This one, we're starting off with John Krasinski. You know, the actor from The Office and The Quiet Place. Well, here he is bringing some good news to the world. He revealed this new series that he's going to be doing on his YouTube channel called Some Good News. Look at that. He's competing for a hosting gig against us, Ryan.
I would think he would be. He's very attractive, so I'm down. He can have my job.
Good evening, everybody, even though it is very clearly the afternoon, and welcome to SGN. John, what is SGN? That's a good question. For years now, I've been wondering, why is there not a news show dedicated entirely to good news? Well, desperately seeking my fix somewhere else, I reached out to all of you this week, asking, nay, begging, for some good news. And boy, did you deliver. After reading those replies and the incredibly heartwarming stories that came with them, I thought, all right, enough is enough, world. Why not us? Why not now? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your fault, and this is SGN.
I think this is really sweet. He's going to be featuring heartwarming and impactful stories. He, of course, had a cameo from former co-star on The Office, Steve Carell, on the show. And I'm sure he has more coming up. So it's going to be very entertaining to watch as all these celebrities figure out what to do with their spare time now and get very creative on social media.
Okay.
So go check that out. It's called Some Good News on YouTube. And now Southwest Airlines snapped a photo that's going viral of 29 healthcare professionals making their way to New York City to help medical staff during the coronavirus pandemic. It is, of course, overwhelming the city right now. The picture shows nurses, doctors holding their hands up in the shape of a heart as that flight prepares for takeoff from Atlanta. And they also had their masks and gloves for the journey. And in the Instagram post, it said, "These brave souls soldier on in the midst of tremendous risk and exposure, constantly putting the needs of others above their own. Their selfless sacrifice is a beacon of light during such a dark time in our world. And no amount of gratitude and praise would ever be enough." So that's really inspiring, coming from Southwest Airlines, who shared that picture.
I really hope people are taking in and understanding the risk that people are putting on their lives. You know, like, people don't have to do this. Healthcare professionals, they literally don't have to do this. And they chose to be in this field. They chose to, you know, take on this heavy burden of possibly this happening. And yes, now things in real life has happened and we are in this moment. And so it's just, I don't know if I can thank thank people enough. And I think it's just as important, like you would thank, you know, people that have served in the Army, to also thank healthcare professionals at a time like this, because they're both putting their lives on the line. It's the same thing, in my opinion.
Now, before the break, we also talked about a rapper who's doing his part right now. Rapper Future, behind the 2017 hit Mask Off. He is bringing masks to healthcare professionals. He's partnering with the sewing organization to provide face masks to hospital workers and patients in a campaign that's titled Mask On. The Free Wishes Foundation that he founded with his sister and his mother announced the campaign this week, calling the need for medical equipment during the coronavirus pandemic critical. They said this, as most people adapt to the new normal of staying quarantined to protect themselves from the coronavirus, healthcare professionals do not have this privilege. In addition, they do not even have enough supplies to protect themselves from contracting the coronavirus. So they have partnered with Atlanta Sewing Style, which is the sewing organization based in his hometown, and they've organized a team of 500 to make and deliver the masks. And so they are, I'm going to be raising money for that. That's the Free Wishes Foundation. So also future guests, our yes queen.
I mean, I never would have thought in my day, and this is where I really feel like I'm in the twilight zone, that one, Shira Lazar would know who Future was, and then two, he would be doing something good, because he's often in the media as being a terrible human being and having tons of babies. So I'm happy he is really sparking some positivity and really putting in some work to change the world right now.
Listen, everyone's doing what they can, so that's really inspiring and awesome to see. Now, coming up, Contagion. You know that movie that everyone seems to be watching again right now. Contagion stars are coming together for a very important message. That's next. Okay, we are back. And as we wrap up this show from our homes, if you haven't realized that we're home still doing the show.
I mean, you've been saying it every opener.
I mean, to switch things up.
Come up with something else, Shira Lazar. Come up with something else.
Give me something. Give me some ideas. Okay, so Contagion, the movie. These days, it feels all too familiar with what we're going through right now. It's almost like they predicted this was going to happen. But also, people keep on watching this movie right now. This is the last thing I would want to do, is watch a movie about a pandemic and everyone dying.
Like, I mean,
I want to watch a movie that helps me escape.
No, I actually really agree with that. I don't understand why people are watching these, you know, these pandemic video or movies. It just is very weird. It feels like people want to suffer while they're already suffering. So exactly. I don't know. What are we doing here?
We enjoy torture. Well, the cast of Contagion, which we seem to love, the film from 2011, has come back for a PSA. Kate Winslet, Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, and Jennifer Eale have teamed up with Columbia University to educate the public on COVID-19. And here's a clip from the PSA.
Hey, everybody. This is Matt Damon. So a few years ago, a bunch of us did this movie called Contagion, which we've noticed is creeping its way back up on the charts on iTunes for obvious reasons, given what we're all living through right now. And so the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University reached out to the cast and asked us if we would have a virtual reunion to do some PSAs for everybody that might be helpful. And so we readily agreed. And so here they are. So everything you're going to hear from us has been vetted by public health experts and scientists.
You know, I was watching that video. Matt Damon, he is really... and I don't want to be rude, but he's not aging the best, in my opinion, but he still looks cute, and I'm happy, Ryan, that we're giving him this moment.
Ryan, that's your takeaway from this PSA?
I know, but I was watching it as we were playing it, and I was like, wow, maybe he just got up and didn't wash his face, but he just isn't aging well, in my opinion.
What about us? Do you think we look good right now? I mean, celebrities are just like all of us.
Delicious. How dare you?
Anyway, if you want to look beyond Matt Damon's hotness, you could check out that PSA and actually listen to the information that they're sharing right now. And it's really cool. It's a cool idea.
Have you ever seen Contagion? I've never seen Contagion.
No, I'm not into movies like that.
I'm not either. I don't, and especially like, I've already watched movies like The Day After Tomorrow. Like, that stuff feels so real to me. I don't want to watch anything else that I'm living in that could possibly see how it plays out. So, I don't know. I'm happy that they had this little reunion and fans are probably very excited about it.
It was a cute way to market and get the information out there. Also, by the way, Ryan, I watch those movies on a date night and I'm not having any date nights. So, I don't like watching them alone. It's scary.
What date night are you having?
I said I'm not having any date nights, so I'm not going to be watching those movies.
Okay, so you want to be able to cuddle with, you know,
someone. Yeah, if I get scared, someone's like, you know.
I get it.
Well, that does it for today's show. If you missed any of the show, we post every episode as a podcast on our app and our site. Just go to radio.com, search Let's Go There, and subscribe to our podcast so you're notified when we post episodes daily. Coming up on tomorrow's show, oh, this is a big one. I'm excited. I'm a big geek. We've got NASA astronaut Scott Kelly joining us.
Like how?
Surviving self-isolation. Now, there are these articles that popped up involving Scott Kelly and like what astronauts think about this because they quarantine all the time.
Yeah.
They're always alone, including when they go to space, obviously. So what an interesting angle to how we're all living today. So he's joining us.
Well, I think that's the coolest thing too. Yeah. I mean, who would have ever thought an astronaut, and real astronaut, Shira, that we would be interviewing. I mean, are you serious? Are we even qualified?
We are raising the bar during the quarantine, for real.
We're taking advantage of everyone being at home.
Exactly. That's tomorrow's show, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and lights.
All right, honey, and you better remember to slay.
See you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Bye, y'all.